On October 12, 2009, an article by author Bruce Feiler entitled How Moses Shaped America appeared in Time magazine. Feiler begins that article with a presidential quote. "We are in the presence of a lot of Moseses," Barack Obama said on March 4, 2007, 3 weeks after announcing his candidacy for president. He was speaking in Selma, Alabama, surrounded by civil rights pioneers. Feiler then notes, "From the Pilgrims to the Founding Fathers, the Civil War to the Civil Rights Movement, Americans have turned to Moses in periods of crisis because his narrative offers a roadmap of peril and promise." Moses was no less of an inspiration to the man who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. It is no wonder that he should spend 7 verses on this hero of faith. Let us hear what he has to say from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." May God add His blessing to the reading and the preaching of His Word. Bible translator James Moffat once pointed out 5 different acts of faith in these 7 verses. The first one is that faith conquers our fears. This first act of faith is that of Moses' parents. They lived in perilous times. The Israelites were multiplying in Egyptian slavery. Pharaoh was afraid that these slaves might rise up and take over his country. So he decided to put a stop to it by having all the firstborn males slaughtered. Of course, I think any parent facing such a situation would do almost anything to protect the life of their son. But how many, when put to the test, when being called upon to choose between their life and the life of their child, that is the sticking point, isn't it? But that's what Moses' parents did. And why? Apparently because they saw that Moses was no ordinary child. The Hebrew text of Exodus suggests that he was beautiful. The writer of the Hebrews tells us this was an act of faith on the part of Moses' parents, and this faith overcame their natural fear, the natural fear that they would have experienced over Pharaoh's edict. Now, this part of Moses' story would have had powerful resonances for the first readers of the letter to the Hebrews. They were facing possible persecution from their fellow Jews because of their faith in Jesus as Messiah. Thus, they must have been tempted by their fears for their own lives to abandon their faith in Jesus. The writer of the Hebrews presents Moses' parents and their example, their actions, as an example of how faith or trust in God can overcome fear. It took faith for them to hide that child for 3 months. It required no less faith for Moses' mother to set him adrift on the Nile in a papyrus basket when she could hide him no longer. Can you imagine the prayers that attended that little reed basket that carried so many of her hopes and dreams? God answered those feverish prayers in a remarkable way. For of course, Moses drifted into the protective care of no one less than Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses' sister Miriam, witnessing this miracle, arranged for her mother to be the nurse to this child. Thus Moses grew up both in the household of the mighty king, but also keeping touch with the people who gave him birth. And you know, it occurred to me as I was thinking about this passage that what Moses' parents had to do in a short period of time, because they were pressed to do it, every parent has to do eventually, right? We have to give up our children. We have to entrust them to God. And of course, that's what makes the teen years so challenging, isn't it? We don't want to give up, and yet they want to be independent, and rightly so. We all need to learn how to entrust our children to God. That's what Moses' parents did. And you know, if we do that, I believe the Lord honors that. And eventually He gives our children back to us, doesn't He? No longer really so much as children, but as friends, just as Moses was given back to his mother. That's the first act of faith here. We see faith that overcomes our fears. In the second act of faith, we see faith that determines our options. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. This second act of faith was an act of loyalty to God's people on Moses' part. He chose to identify with the Israelites instead of enjoying the privileges of a prince in the house of Pharaoh. According to Exodus, the way in which Moses chose to align himself with God's people was very dramatic indeed. You'll remember the story when he was watching the Israelites at their slave labor one day. He witnessed an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. He couldn't bear to watch it any longer. So when he thought nobody was looking, he took the Egyptian aside and he killed him. And he hid his body in the sand. Now, of course, taking the law into his own hands wasn't right, but identifying with his own people was the right thing to do. And that decision was already made for him because of his faith. You see, you can't separate faith in God from a relationship with the faithful people of God. And Moses realized that. This act of faith would have had an important application, once again, for the first readers of this letter. They were considering abandoning their membership in the community of Christ, God's true people, in favor of the physical security and the social acceptability of the synagogue. But the writer of the Hebrews encourages them, be like Moses, decide by faith to remain true to the believing community. But how was Moses thinking of Christ when he sided with his fellow Israelites? That's what the writer of the Hebrews tells us. N.T. Wright suggests Moses was looking ahead in the long purposes of God to the moment when the true king would come, the one through whom Israel and the world would finally be set free from all slavery. And he also draws a parallel to somebody else from history, a young man who came from a wealthy family. His father was a well-respected figure in the community. Everyone expected the son to follow him in his profession and, like him, attain wealth and noble standing. But that young man wasn't having any of it. Gripped by a passion for God and a love for the poor, or as some saw it, a sort of religious mania, he threw it all off, literally in terms of his fine clothes, walking away naked from his father's angry rebuke before putting on a simple robe and devoting himself to a life of prayer and preaching. Do you know who that young man was? St. Francis of Assisi, whose vocation inspired many others to join him. Astonishingly, within less than 10 years, his movement had not only become an order within the church, but was divided into different provinces. Within 20 years of his original call to leave all and follow Jesus, he had died. But by then, there were branches of his order in most of the countries of Europe. Faith determined Francis of Assisi's options. Because he was a young man of faith, he couldn't imagine continuing to live in wealth and splendor when people around him were living in dire poverty. In the same way, Moses could not conceive of continuing to live in the king's palace while his own people were suffering in slavery. And that leads inevitably to the third act of faith. Faith sharpens our vision. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Wow. Of course, the book of Exodus reveals more to the story, doesn't it? We read, the next day, that is after Moses killed the Egyptian, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting, and he asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And the man said, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh, went to live in Midian. Is there a contradiction here between the book of Exodus and the letter of the Hebrews? William Barclay answers this way. He says, there's no real contradiction. It's simply that the writer of the letter of the Hebrews saw even more deeply into the story. For Moses to withdraw to Midian was not an act of fear, it was an act of courage. It showed the courage of the man who has learned to wait. You see, Moses could have used this incident with the Egyptian taskmaster to stir his fellow Israelites to revolt. But as A.S. Peake once observed, Moses had the insight to see that God's hour had not yet struck. And therefore he resolutely turned his back on the course he had begun to tread. And then Peake makes this important application. He says, courage to abandon work on which the whole heart is set and to accept in action cheerfully as the will of God is of the rarest and highest kind, and can be created and sustained only by the clearest spiritual vision. Moses had that kind of vision because his gaze was set steadily on God. He knew the right time and he knew the wrong time. Verse 26 tells us that Moses' eyes were fixed, not on the momentary situation, but on the future reward of doing things God's way. That verb to look in verse 26 was used in secular Greek literature to refer to an artist who keeps his eyes fixed on the object he is either painting or sculpting. The word implies deliberate, determined choice. Looking away from the immediate to the ultimate, from temporary gain to eternal reward. So I was working on this passage, I came across this wonderful quote from Tony Snow, the former White House press secretary under George W. Bush, who died of cancer in 2008. Here's what he said about his experience of dealing with cancer. He said, "The art of being sick is not the same as the art of getting well. Some cancer patients recover, some don't. But the ordeal of facing your mortality and feeling your frailty sharpens your perspective about life. You appreciate little things more ferociously. You grasp the mystical power of love. You feel the gravitational pull of faith. And you realize you have received a unique gift, a field of vision others don't have about the power of hope and the limits of fear. A firm set of convictions about what really matters and what does not. You also feel obliged to share these insights," he says, "the most important of which is this. There are things far worse than illness. For instance, soullessness." Sometimes, just as he did with Moses, God allows us to go through suffering so that in that crucible of pain, our vision of God will be sharpened through faith. Fourth act of faith we see here in this passage is that faith recognizes our dependence. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Could the Israelites have triumphed by their own brute strength and numbers over the most powerful nation on earth at that time? Probably not. Pharaoh was fiercely determined to have his own way. Despite plague or pestilence, he was going to show Moses and Israel who was boss. Even the death of all the firstborn of Egypt didn't ultimately deter him. Now, it probably didn't make much sense to the Israelites at that time, sprinkling their doorways with the blood of the lamb. Why should we do that, Moses? But they had learned to rely on the God who spoke through His servant. So they just did it. And you know, there's a powerful lesson for us in this. We are dependent on the protecting and powerful blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Corrie ten Boom once said that whenever we enter into spiritual warfare, which is every day, by the way, we must come under the protecting name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Those two things. I don't fully understand it, but I know it works. That blood of the sacrifice symbolized for us now in Holy Communion. It's a symbol of our dependence upon God, upon His life that animates our life. I enjoy getting flowers for my wife. I used to buy her cut roses from the florist all the time. Haven't done that in a long time. Maybe I've been remiss. But part of the reason I haven't done that is because I've come to realize that she likes potted plants better. And that's a wise choice, don't you think? Because no matter how beautiful the roses are or how much money you spend, within days they've wilted. Why? Because they're cut off from their roots. Not so the potted plant. It draws rich nutrients from that soil, and if you water it properly, it just keeps on going and going. We need to beware every day of cutting ourselves off from our roots in God. We are utterly dependent upon Him and upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, the fifth act of faith is that faith overcomes our difficulties. By faith, the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Moses wasn't the only one to respond to the Word of God in faith. Moses' faith inspired the faith of the Israelite people. It was by faith alone that they were able to cross that Red Sea. By faith, they trusted that God would part those waters and deliver them from the Egyptians. If faith in God can do that, it can overcome any difficulty. Not because of any power inherent in the faith itself, but because of the power of the God in whom our faith rests. Moses said to the Israelites, "The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still." Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Just to be still. When life is collapsing all around us, when we just want to do something, that's the hardest thing, to be still and trust that God is going to take care of the situation rather than our running around frantically trying to fix the situation. How powerfully this lesson of faith from Moses, the Israelites, and their Red Sea passage must have spoken to those early Christians. Here they were, a small ragtag band of pilgrims trying to prevail against the mighty power of Rome. How could they ever do it? Not by money, they didn't have any. Not by power, they didn't have that. Not by success, they didn't have much of a success story. How did Christianity eventually win over the entire Roman Empire? I think they found the secret on their knees. In total dependence upon God, expressed over and over again through prayer. That was the genius of the early church. By continuing to spend time on their knees before the Almighty, they realized He was more powerful than Rome. And the Roman Empire, no match for His power. By faith, they realized God could help them to overcome any difficulty. In his book, Exodus and Revolution, Michael Walzer shares three lessons we can all learn from the Exodus event of the Old Testament. What the Exodus taught first, that wherever you live, it's probably Egypt. Secondly, that there is a better place, a world more attractive, a promised land. And third, the way to that land is through the wilderness. We're all on a wilderness journey in which we need faith. Faith to stick our necks out and make that next step for the Lord. Let's ask Him for the faith to do that, even this week. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word to us, for how the stories of this man Moses, who lived thousands of years ago, is still relevant to us today. And You apply it to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to have the same faith, the same radical trust in You that Moses had. That even when he was scared, Lord, he kept stepping out in the direction that You wanted him to go because he had heard Your voice. He had met You in that burning bush and he could never forget it. Lord, thank You for the courage that You gave Moses to keep stepping out. What must it have been like for him to raise that staff and to see the waters part? Lord, help us to have the same courage that Moses had, even though we don't know exactly how You're going to work out the problems we face in our own lives. Help us to keep stepping forward in faith, keep sticking our necks out, dependent also on the body of Christ around us, who helps to lift us up in faith, just as Moses was lifted up by that community who prayed for him. And who literally at times lifted up his arms. Lord, may we so also rely on the community of faith as we step out in faith for You. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.